Well, this is a really wonderful subject because what we recognize in understanding the nature of cells is that every cell is an intelligent, sentient being. For example, I can take cells out of your body and put them in a tissue culture environment, and they'll survive and thrive on their own without you. So every cell is capable of controlling its own particular existence. However, what we talked about in evolution is the cells come together and form community. Well, what's interesting is the nature of a community, because a community is based on a membership where all are sharing or committed to a particular destination or venture. So when you join a community, you really are not free to do whatever you want. It has to be in the guidelines of what is the collective vision of the community. So when cells join a community, they defer their own decisions and intelligence to follow what I would call a central voice. The central voice is the collective vision and wisdom of the body, which is generally focused in the central nervous system. And so the central nervous system's function is to be the eyes and ears of the community, to observe what's going on in the world, interpret what's going on in the world, and then coordinate the functions of the citizens in that community to provide for a successful survival or thriving in that particular world. So that what we have is a central government, more or less, and which is represented by the mind. So the mind is really communicating to the cells an effort of coordinating the function of the human body to live and thrive in the world that the mind perceives. So the significance is that there's information, in a sense, from the top down going to the cells, but it's not a one-way street because the cells themselves respond to what's going on by sending information back to the central nervous system. We are familiar with the voice of the cells when we are experiencing symptoms or emotions running through our body, because this is the expression of the cells that are responding to the directives of the central voice. So the issue is that there is a wonderful government and an exchange that allows the cells to hold together in a community and support each other, yet at the same time maintain themselves as independent elements within that environment. So every cell is still an independent cell, yet every cell survives and actually thrives by contributing not just to its life, but to the life of the whole, because when that happens, the cells reap the rewards from a healthy physiology.
It's striking that the principles of the founding of America were very similar to the healthy body structure. There were four values that the founding fathers promoted: liberty, justice, truth, and equality. I'll explain each of them, and you'll see how they relate to the body. As deists, the founding fathers understood liberty as the free will of life moving forward toward greater learning and evolution. That's how they saw liberty. So liberty wasn't the individual just doing anything that they wanted. Liberty had to do with life moving forward, life being free to move forward. John Stuart Mill said, "Any restrictions on liberty reduces the number of things tried and so reduces the rate of progress." So in a certain sense, liberty represents a diverse ecosystem where many things are happening, and the things that are actually going to be the best are the ones that rise to the top. Liberty, however, has to be balanced by justice, because after all, among things tried has been killing your neighbors and taking their property. That's been tried. So justice is the counterbalance to domination. Justice recognizes each individual cell as free and equal and worthy of fair treatment. So there's an intrinsic understanding that treating each individual equally and justly secures the freedom for the whole. Put even more simply, justice is the golden rule applied to the commons and codified in law. Such justice is very important. Truth is as important to a healthy body politic as accurate perceptions are to a physical body. Because just as our immune system has to be able to read internal signals carefully, in fact, every system in our body has to read signals clearly, so that we don't get mobilized against the wrong thing, and we are mobilized against what is actually a threat, we need clear, unspun information to assess situations accurately so that we can apprehend what the healthy central voice is trying to tell us. So in the current atmosphere of intentional distortion, it's easy to forget the founders of America didn't necessarily design freedom of speech and the press so that we could utter one of George Carlin's seven words or get pornography in our inbox. The real reason was so that we get accurate information so that sovereign citizens would have all the information and perspective we would need to make decisions. Now, equality is a very important quality because it's the understanding that all human cells are created equal and that there is an arena called the commons where each individual counts as much or as little as another, and where wealth and status make no difference.
This is an interesting parallel to describe that. When we send a white light through a prism, the light is refracted and is expressed as the colors of the rainbow. And if you take those colors of the rainbow and send it back into the prism, it comes back out as white light. Well, what's interesting is that each person or each cell is the equivalent of minor frequency in that rainbow. And the relevance of the importance of each cell in the whole is illustrated by this. If we put a white light through a prism and then get the refracted rainbow, and then we arbitrarily select any minor frequency in that rainbow and take it out of the rainbow and throw it out and say, we don't want this frequency. And then we take the remaining frequencies of that rainbow and put it back through the prism, we don't get white light back. So basically, it becomes very important to recognize that every frequency is relevant to the creation of the white light. And where this applies to our planet very particularly is that we've been focused by spiritual leaders to see that the white light is coming back to the planet. And the interesting reality is the way I see it from a cellular point of view is that each one of us is representing a frequency of the light, that the white light is already on the planet when we incorporate all of the individuals together and make a harmonious community out of them, the white light returns to the planet. The message is every individual counts and that it is not up to us to remove a frequency because the moment we do is the moment we lose that white light that we've been looking for.
That's really very powerful because that offers a new understanding of full spectrum politics that's expressed in America's motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. Now, it's not a top-down imposed oneness. It's not where there's a dictator telling us what one we have to be, but rather all of these individual thriving cells being who they are is what adds up to the one. And that brings us to another interesting idea, which has to do with the political central voice. Because what's happened in the 230 years since the Declaration of Independence, give or take a couple of years, is that one of the elements in We the People has been a missing element in the government of the United States, and that's been the people. They've been missing. And consequently, we have ruled by essentially the very few. We have ruled by corporations. And if a body worked that way, the body wouldn't be working very well at all. So there's been some studies and some very interesting work that I wanted to introduce very briefly that has to do with how we would access a healthy central voice of We the People. Now, we're not talking about the voice that is the toxic mimic central voice that's provided by mass media that's essentially trying to program us without us knowing. It's not what we talked about. It's not the Edward Bernays weapons of mass distraction. Not that. We're talking about, is it possible for individuals collectively to tune into and find this collective central voice? And there have been some very interesting experiments done. In his book, The Wisdom of Crowds, James Suriecki talks about the British scientist Sir Francis Galton, who at the age of 85 had already made up his mind about what human beings were like. He didn't think much of us. He thought that we were generally on the lower end of the intelligence scale. But he was still very curious, and he was walking through a state fair one day, and there was a booth at the state fair where you had to guess the weight of this ox after it was butchered. And if you successfully came the closest to guessing the weight of the ox, you would win the butchered ox. And so he watched as people put in their bets, and somebody eventually won the bet. But what he did was he collected all of the pieces of paper where people wrote down what their bid was. And there were about 700 of these, and he put them all together, and he added them up, and he took the average. And the amazing thing was that the butchered ox weighed 1,197 pounds. The average guess was 1,198 pounds. Now, isn't that interesting? No one individual came anywhere close, but collectively, this group of randomly selected individuals who were not experts, they were able to collectively come very accurately to guess the weight of this ox.